Since 1789, the U.S. Constitution has been in effect, and despite a civil war which nearly tore the country apart, and despite many challenges to our governing document, the rule of law, theoretically, is still in place. But today, it seems that some people, in effect, want to rule us through what we could call mobocracy. If you can get enough protesters in the streets to intimidate people who are trying to do the right thing, then you can prevail to kowtow the people to accept things that only because they're being forced to do it. Hitler's minister of propaganda, Goebbels, once said, "History is made in the street." Well, thankfully, American history was made in Independence Hall by the Founding Fathers, who said that our rights come from the Creator, not the state. To talk about these things is Bill Federer, a best-selling author and a highly sought-after speaker. His website is AmericanMinute.com. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. And Bill, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, Jerry, great to be with you.
Sure. Well, how about a couple of quick comments, if you would, between what we could call mobocracy versus what the founders intended with the rule of law?
Yeah, well, even Plato talked about that. He said, I wrote a book called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And he said that democracy is where the people rule, but you go through stages. First, you have the lovers of principle and truth. They're the ones that like to balance the books, and they don't care if you say bad things about them. He said these are followed by lovers of fame. These are people that have no experience in balancing the books. They just like being in front of people. And because they love fame, they hate being defamed. So these people will sway with the wind. The third group is lovers of money. So they found out that if you funnel money to your supporters, they'll be loyal to you, but you can also tax and take away money from your political opponents. And then this breaks into a division in society, those that are the connected insiders that get all the favors, and then those that are the ones that are not. Plato says that over time, the not people will get enough steam going where they'll throw the bums out. And it'll be a democracy where it'll be nice for a while, but then they end up tolerating each other. Great. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Not great. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off, till finally they're tolerating lawlessness and it turns into chaos. And then the people begin to clamor for someone to come along and fix it. And Plato says that's when someone comes along who's all smiles, promising everything to everybody. And he begins to consolidate power and fix it. But then he begins to get too powerful. And he first appears above ground as a protector, but then standing up in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, he's revealed as a tyrant. Hmm. And so Plato says, how's this tyrant going to stay in power? He'll purge his administration of anybody that has virtue. All he wants is yes men that obey him. And so who does he get to replace his former friends? He has a mob. These are people that he releases from prison. These are illegal immigrants. And he is able to stand back and let them destroy his political opponents while he stands above pretending like he's more virtuous. Hmm. And but finally, once he's eliminated his political opponents, that's when he's revealed as a tyrant. And so that's Plato's lifespan of government of a city right there. But that last stage is where we're at here. And it's this idea that you have a president and his press conference sake person not condemning this mobocracy. So Biden can stand back and says, well, I'm not doing that. These are these other people doing it, yet he's behind it. It's sort of like in Nigeria. You have a Muslim government saying, well, we don't know what the Boko Haram is doing, wiping out Christian villages. They're just sort of doing that. We know, you know exactly what's going on, but you have this ability to distance yourself and pretend like you're not involved. So even way back in ancient Greece, Plato says this is how a tyrant seizes power. He has a mob at his disposal, and they're not restrained from shedding of blood, and they destroy his political opponents, and then he's able to act like he's more virtuous above the fray, but in reality, he's the one that's benefiting from this cycle of power.
Okay, wait. Let me interrupt
as well.
Okay, and let me go ahead and interrupt you and hone in on what's happening today. As you and I are recording this discussion, we see the situation just last week of a Supreme Court decision, that a draft decision was released in an unprecedented way, possibly illegally. What's happening is some on the left are basically saying, okay, let's go and we will protest in front of Supreme Court justices' homes, and here are their addresses, and it's, you know, publishing that information and getting it out there. Already some protests have happened, and the goal is to essentially intimidate these justices to change their minds and say, okay, we're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Sorry, you know, forgive us for, you know, trying to be faithful to the Constitution. You know, we'll just go back and be faithful to you. I this is a scary thing to me. I mean, I would think even people on the left would say, you know what? Okay, let's agree to disagree, but we're not going to break the whole system down just because we don't get our way.
Yeah, you know, if people can mentally justify killing an unborn baby, is there anything that they can't mentally justify? I mean, what's leaking a memo? What's voter fraud? You know, it is interesting that the leak happened at exactly the same time as Dinesh D'Souza was releasing his 2000 Mules video. I mean, to sold out theaters. This is big news. This should be front page news, but it's bumped off the front page by this leaked story. Very similar to Afghanistan, was front page news. I mean, Biden was facing impeachment, calls for his impeachment. Miley was facing calls to resign, that we hand over $85 billion worth of weapons to the Taliban without trying to destroy any of it. Yet, as soon as that was getting to be uncomfortable, Biden decides he's going to have a mask mandate. And instantly, Afghanistan is forgotten. And the news headlines are mask mandates. And so this is strategic. Bill Clinton, when he's facing Monica Lewinsky, front page news, he fires some missiles into an aspirin factory over in Bosnia and so forth. It's a typical, it actually goes back to Plato. He says when, for example, when Pericles was getting a lot of negative press in Athens, that Pericles decided to let relations with Sparta deteriorate into a war. And so that instead of people saying that Pericles is getting too powerful, now they want a strong leader in time of war. And so that sort of silent, it changes the whole narrative. And so we have to question the timing of the release of this. I also have some other questions. I have some questions as to John Roberts. Did he release the memo? You know, we did see that he was originally against Obamacare. For those not familiar, when the justices hear a case, they meet in the back room and they give it a thumbs up or thumbs down. And the majority decides, and they spend the next 6 months writing their opinions. And so Obamacare, originally, John Roberts, the report was he was against it. And then, I was talking to Tim Gageline, who was with Focus on the Family and who was on the Bush administration. He was sharing some inside stories that, Roberts was invited to a party at in the Watergate Hotel with a bunch of Hollywood people and so on and so forth. And after that, his tune changed. And he writes his Obamacare decision saying, yes, it is unconstitutional. But if Congress has the power to tax, they can call it a tax and they can continue Obamacare. And everybody in the country was shocked. And then there's unconfirmed reports, but they seem to be some that could possibly have some truth to them, that when the election came up and the cases were going to come before the Supreme Court as to whether or not to allow Philadelphia to have voting for weeks and days and weeks afterwards, that there were cases that they were going to say no. And the report was that John Roberts sort of browbeat some of the other justices in a back room, saying, no, we're not going to get involved in this. And but it's some of the reports I read is that he may not be in favor of completely overturning Roe. He might just want to dial it back a little bit and may not be happy with the justices that want to completely overthrow Roe. So I don't trust him. I don't trust what's happening. It is a political. Obviously, the timing of the release was completely political. And whether it was to stop the talk of the 2,000 mules and the voter fraud, or whether it was to allow time to put pressure on other justices to cave, we'll probably at some point find out. But it is resorting to a mobocracy that this administration has no intention of stopping.
I keep thinking of that one line from a Saturday Night Live sketch where they say, apologize, no. Above the fray, yes. But the bottom line is, what the founders intended, and you know well, and for the next 4 minutes as we conclude this discussion, let's talk about what did the founders want and why are they worth emulating? George Washington, for example, said that of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. George Washington and other founders intended that God or that godly values would basically be practiced because they help ensure the freedom of the populace.
Yeah, one of the stories that is the Newburgh Conspiracy. Toward the end of the Revolutionary War, the soldiers had not been paid for a couple of years. And there, a bunch of generals met, and they were talking about going into New York and taking over the government of the country.
Wow.
And George Washington surprises everybody by showing up at this Newburgh Conspiracy meeting. The room gets quiet. He walks to the front. He pulls a piece of paper out of his pocket. And then he pulls out his glasses, his spectacles, and he says, excuse me while I put these on. I've grown blind in the service of my country. And nobody had ever seen him with glasses on before. He begins to read, and he says that if you guys follow through with this, then all of our comrades' blood will be in vain, that we fought to get rid of a king. And if you go in there and put up institute a military government, then they all had died in vain. He folds up his piece of paper, sticks it in his pocket, walks out, and the Newburgh Conspiracy dissolves. In other words, he stopped mobocracy. He stopped a mob justice. And he says, let the people rule. They may make good decisions. They may not make good decisions, but let's let them make the decisions.
That is so good. And you think about what the founder said in terms of power. Power is dangerous. In fact, James Madison, a key architect of the Constitution, said all men having power ought not to be trusted. Whoa. I mean, in other words, they wanted to make sure that, no one person or a small group of people would seize the power. We have about 1 minute left. Your comment.
Well, every now and then you get a good king, but he doesn't live forever, and he passes his power on to some son or grandson that's a lousy king. So even if you have a Joseph concentrating power into the hands of the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh feeds the children of Israel, at some point you get a new Pharaoh that does not know Joseph, and he uses that concentrated power to make the children of Israel throw their sons in the Nile River. So our founders want to take the power of a king and separate it, and that's where we're at today, wanting to preserve that. And this is all in a book I wrote called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. And if people are interested, my website's AmericanMinute.com.
Okay, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. And, bottom line is that the founders cared about the rule of law and religion, on a voluntary basis, was what upholds that. So that's why John Adams would say, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And one of your books, by the way, America's God and Country, has such great quotes, including those two that we've just quoted in this discussion from George Washington and John Adams. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. AmericanMinute.com. Thanks so much, Bill, for being with us.
Thank you, Jerry.